Very thankful to our good Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for a safe journey, and thankful to see each and every one tonight. This is a special treat. Many faces I have not seen before, and there's other faces I've seen many times. Dear friends, and again, thankful for this invitation. Elder Martin has been up and been a blessing to our people. They're a Friendship Church, and just very, very thankful for his ministry, and just very, very thankful to be in the household of faith. Hopefully no one saw me fooling around with my cell phone up here, but if you did, Brother Jeff doesn't like people fooling around with cell phones during worship service. But past few Sundays there at Friendship Church, they said, Brother Jeff, I think you're losing your voice. So people can't hear you. And we finally figured out what it was. I have a hearing aids, and they were resonating. And so if you turn them down, then they don't resonate. And so hopefully I'll speak loud enough for y'all tonight. You say, well, how come you have hearing aids? Well, Sister Karen and I, we used to cut firewood after we both come home from a hard day's work, and we would sell it, so with the chainsaw. But the thing that just took it over the edge, as they say, that broke the camel's back, but there's a possum on our back porch. And that's right, I shot at him 6 times. And after a year after that, I had to get some hearing aids. So the moral of the story is, wear protective hearing. Don't play that loud music in your car, because it will destroy those little fibers in your ears. I don't care what your friends tell you, it will destroy them. If you're running machinery, loud equipment, chainsaws, any kind of loud equipment, wear your hearing protection. It will help you. So what I was doing, I was not checking text messages or playing some game, but I was turning my hearing aid down, so hopefully I can speak aloud where it doesn't bring just unbearable if you speak real loud. So I do covet your prayers tonight, and pray that our time together be a blessing from the Lord. Notice your articles of faith out there, and I count it a real treat to be among Primitive Baptists. I talk to all kinds of God's children, different religions that they're involved in. I have made some friends that way, and have made some enemies that way. And we pray for our friends, we pray for our enemies. But it's good to talk about religion. It's one of those subjects that's very seldom mentioned in this day and age, and we see there's a great falling away, and it's amazing how many people do not believe in creation. They do not believe in the Holy Scriptures. They definitely do not believe in election. And so it sort of reminded me when the Lord chose Gideon there in the book of Judges, and he told Gideon that he had too many men. I think he started out with about 32,000, and he said, that's too many, and he said, tell everybody it's afraid, go home, and I think he was down to about 10,000 after that, and he said, that's still too many, and then he said, take them down to the water, and those that would cup their hands and drink water in a certain way, that those would be the ones. There's 300. From 32,000 to 300, that's quite a drastic drop. But those 300 were chosen.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, men are called and few are chosen. And I count it a great privilege to be in a household of faith among Primitive Baptists who've been converted, that are converted to the truth and are on a continual conversion process. You say, process? I thought the new birth was instantaneous. Well, that's true. The new birth is instantaneous.
Amen.
One moment you're dead in sin, the next moment you're alive in Christ.
Amen.
And it happens very quickly.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But when it comes to conversion, that's a continual process. And hopefully,
Amen.
We are all in that process. And I want to encourage you to maybe look at your life and see where you're at in your conversion. There are some here that have been members of the church for many years, others maybe just starting out. And the thing about it is that the closer you draw to the Lord and you ask and seek and knock, the more God gives you. If you're not seeking, asking, or knocking, then you might be just camped out there on the other side of Jordan after your baptism. But if you're seeking and asking and knocking and asking where is the good way and asking God to show you in His Word, we have the promise that He will give it to us and He will open it up to us. And so when I meet with God's people, with members of the Church of the Living God, I'm meeting with people who are very rare in the earth. They're described as a little flock. Very few people have been blessed to know what you know, to see what you have seen, and have been given in those 66 books of the Holy Scriptures. Back before printing presses, people were thankful just to have one book of the Bible and to read it, to memorize it. So we're living in a very wonderful and blessed age. And so when I meet with primitive Baptists and those who have been baptized, because baptism is what? A command of the Lord. It is a commandment of God. Jesus asked some individuals one time, He says, John's baptism, is it of men or is it from heaven? It's a wonderful commandment, and that is just the very beginning. And to enter into that, you must believe that Jesus Christ is, not was, but is the Son of God. That means He's alive. And that He is the Son of God, and that He loved you and gave Himself for you. Philip said, thou mayest, if you believe that. And that's just a beginning point. That's where you just sort of start on your journey. And so, how are you this evening? Very few people believe in the creation, the very first book of the Bible. I meet God's people, they say, oh, we believe in creation, but it was six eons of time. There's only about 15, if that, percent people in the United States believe in the six-day creation and the seventh day God rested. You believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, don't you?
Amen.
You better.
Because
that was a glorious moment. And never be repeated. You know, science has to be repeated to be called science. As Christian scientists, that's sort of, that doesn't fit together with me. Creation is totally different than science. So you believe in that six-day creation. About 2,500 years after creation, God appeared on a mount and He gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And He said, as God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested the seventh, so should you. He didn't say six or eons of time. He said 6 days. And you should do likewise as God did. And so when it comes to whittling down, you just think about how special you are tonight compared to many of God's children. Because I'm talking about God's children that remain in unbelief. Only about 15-20% believe in a six-day creation. There's been religions. I hear in your articles of faith, you had You believe in the Holy Trinity. There's religions that have millions in their membership that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the eternal Son of God. But you do, don't you?
Amen.
You believe that he was from everlasting to everlasting.
Amen.
You believe he is the Word that was made flesh. You believe that he came down from heaven, finished his work, ascended back up into heaven. He is the eternal, everlasting Son of God. But there's millions of people who do not believe that. They've been mistaught. But you believe that. You believe that this book is the Holy Scriptures of God. It is our only rule of our faith and practice. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe that. I talked to a family relation years ago, and I said, "Well, we use the King James Bible is what we use." And she said, "Well, you see, we have a advantage over you. So we've got 6 or 7 books that we use." 6 or 7 books? Yes, we're more knowledgeable. I thought of the old proverb. It says, always beware of a man of one book, because he knows it. And the men of God have been blessed, called into the ministry, blessed to rightly divide the word of truth. And so you believe that this book is the word of God. As many of God's children have been mistaught, misread, misled. They do not believe that. You see, you're sort of special tonight, what you believe, where you have come in your spiritual journey, in your conversion. This one here really narrows the field down. I'm sure I'm sure old Gideon was real disheartened when there's only 300 that took the water out with the cup of their hands. Because, you know, he had 10,000, but now only 300 did this. You start asking God's children if they believe in the election of God's grace. Boy, you talking about cutting it down to a small percentage. Now, one time in this country and in America, the people who attended church and believed in God, The majority of them believed in the election of grace. Things have changed in 200 years, hasn't it? It really has changed. But you have hung on to the truth. We believe in the election of God's grace. Romans chapter 9 says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, why was this done? Well, you don't have to look too far. It says this was done that the purpose of God according to what? Election might stand. I trust everyone here tonight believes in the doctrine of election. You believe that Jesus loved you, died for you, and is coming back for you. But you believe that you're the elect of God, the chosen of God. Chosen before the world began. Your name written in his book. Chosen in Christ as you were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. There are very few people today that believe in the wonderful doctrine of election. Oftentimes people will turn to Romans chapter 9 and they'll say, unfair, unfair. And of course the Holy Spirit addresses that, because he asks the question, is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
Yeah.
There's no unrighteousness with God. For he saith unto Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. If it was just God's righteousness that was on display, he would have said this, Jacob have I hated, and Esau have I hated. Matter of fact, I reject the entire family of Adam. But God is not just righteous and holy and just, But he says, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. The reason that you enter through the gates of glory is because your name was written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world, and you were chosen in Christ before the world began. You are elected unto that wonderful and glorious place that we call heaven. You are God's children. And it's not by your will. He covers that. It's not of him that willeth. That takes a whole lot of Christianity in America, you know. I mean, they have to have that free will for some reason. I don't know. I guess it just makes them feel better. But I tell you, when I look at man's free will, it's always got him in trouble. But it's God's grace that has rescued us. He says, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So it's not of him that willeth. That takes your free will out of it. It's not of him that runneth. That takes your perseverance out of it. But it's God that showeth mercy. I had a woman some years ago. She wanted to let me know right well. She said, well, I'm going to tell you right now. She says, I have my ticket punched, bought, and paid for. And you better get yours punched, bought, and paid for too before it's everlasting too late. And I told her, unless Jesus Christ purchased my ticket and punched it and paid for it, I'm a goner. Because I'm a hell deserving sinner and I have nothing to offer unto God except a filthy rags.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ is the one who paid it all. All the debt I owed, sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. So you believe in the election of God's grace. Boy, that just really whittles it down to just a few people who know the truth, walk in the truth, and live that truth. You believe that the death of Christ is sufficient. You believe in baptism. It is a commandment of God, and it's not sprinkling, it's immersion. Boy, that just whittles us down again, doesn't it? Oh, I think we're down to about the 2 percentile now. But it gets smaller than that. I tell you, when I meet among God's people, primitive Baptists who walk in the truth, love the truth, I've even had people mock the old church because we still use wine. Still use wine. Visited a little sister years ago. She and I had an operation. There's two sheep stealers. They were preachers from somewhere. Sent over there by her. I won't get into all that. But they was over there. And they were talking to her and trying to persuade. She had just joined the old church. She had attended and belonged to another type of Baptist for years, and she was converted to the truth. And they were over there. I just called it harassing her. And Brother Jeff walks in and he said, you still use wine in your communion, don't you? I said, sure do. He said, well, you know, we don't use wine. You know, if we use wine, we'd be one. If we took that wine, we'd be 1/10 a drunkard. I said, well, you know, they called the Lord a gluttonous man. I said, because of what he did, ate and drank. And I said, you know, if I had a turkey sandwich on the way over here, I guess I'm 1/10 of a glutton. He said, well, I know Greek. Got into the Greek, you know, and all that. And he says, you know, that fruit, that wine over there, that's grape juice. That's what it means. And I let him, get enough rope to hang himself. I said, you know Greek? I said, yeah. Are you sure about this? You sure? He said, yeah. I said, I'm certain about this. I said, well, the Bible says one of the qualifications of the ministry, he's not to be given to much wine. I said, that doesn't make any sense. He's not to be given to much grapefruit or grape juice. I said, it's the same Greek word. I said, when the Bible says wine, it means wine.
Yeah.
And the Lord used the same items on the Passover table that he instituted the first supper. And so we still use wine. We wash feet, don't we? That's kept a lot of people out of church, out of joining the church. You all wash feet. I think sometimes the Lord placed these beautiful symbols and emblems in his church, not only to bring spiritual blessings to the members, but also to keep the world and troublemakers out of the church.
Yeah.
A little with quietness, and where love is better than a house full and a stalled ox where there's hatred and rejection. You all know that. Y'all have ever been to a family reunion or been to a meeting of some sort, and if somebody doesn't like you, rejects you, you just don't feel welcome. Have to walk on eggshells, But then you come to a place where people just hug your neck, they love you, and it's just entirely different. Yes, you're very special people. You're the Lord's house, you're the Lord's bride, you're not only the Lord's children, but you're his church.
Amen.
And the scripture says that God loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Now you think about what that's saying there. God has his children in every nation, kindred, and tongue and people around this world and in all religions and in every family of the earth. And he says he loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of the thousands of the millions of his children. So that's strange. Well, here in the gates of Zion, we talk about God's Son and his finished work. We talk about his second coming. We're not ashamed to take the bread and the wine. We're not ashamed of our hope. We're not ashamed of the doctrine of election and predestination. Matter of fact, we love it. We defend it. We preach it. We rejoice in it.
Amen.
We're not afraid of being mocked at because we don't have the musical instruments of the world in divine worship. God didn't put them in his New Testament church, and they don't need to ever creep in. God sees that and he smiles, because here's a very small group. A small group who not only believes these things but love these things.
Amen.
Now here's my challenge for some of the young and also the old. You know these things, but can you prove them? We are commanded to prove all things. I was in a conversation not too long ago, and they said, well, the only reason people are Catholics is because they're raised Catholic. Only reason people Methodist because they're raised Methodist. Only reason I'm a primitive Baptist because I was raised a primitive Baptist. I hope that's not the case with you. I hope that you have read and prayed and seek and sought the face of the Lord and asked.
Yeah.
And be able to prove it. Prove it to yourself. Be able to prove it to your spouse. Sit down with your children and tell them this is the reason why. And it's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
This is the book. This is the book. The question is, are you able to read it? Are you able to find the proof text? Are you able to look at those articles of faith out there and turn to the scriptures and prove what you believe? Oh, I hope you can. If you haven't come that far, you need to be converted. You need to get busy tonight and get in there and read and find those proof texts and those support texts. And say, so the old Baptist is the New Testament church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because what they believe and what they practice is thus saith the Lord. You're very special. You're very few. And you're very precious, because the Lord loves the gates of Zion. And he's not talking about a building, a natural building. He's talking about the lively stones that make up
Amen. The
house of the living God. May the Lord continue to strengthen and bless each and every one of you.